Good morning, church. Before we begin worship, I would just like to say thank you for being here this morning. Glad for the weather, glad that you guys came out. Really good to see you guys. We're going to start off with a familiar song, and I hope that you know the words. If you would go ahead and stand, and we're going to begin worship together.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die.
All we want and all we need is found in you.
since there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. Is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you. Is found in all we want, all we want, and all we need. Is found in you. Is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you. Is found in you. Deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving. Now you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk streets of gold, I sing about you, save my soul. This wayward son has found his way back.
I am free. Oh, I am free. Yeah, lost another one.
back to that bridge. If you feel like lifting your hands, do it. We're going to sing Hell Lost Another One.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. Oh, I am free. Oh, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. Oh, I am. Change my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Oh, I thank God.
We're going to read a passage from Psalms. This is verse 100, or chapter 100, verses 3 through 4. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
Your goodness is running. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this place to worship. Many people in some places don't get that opportunity, and I pray that we wouldn't let that pass us by. We wouldn't be ignorant to the fact that we've been blessed here in America, that we're blessed here in this building. Lord, I pray that we would open up our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning, that we wouldn't come carrying our burdens, but we would lay them down at your feet. Some of us have had really great weeks, some of us probably not so much. But whether we're on a mountaintop or in a valley, you are the God of both. And Lord, you are the orchestrator of everything that's happening in our lives. And I pray that we would remember that. And I pray that even if we are suffering, Lord, that we not suffer alone, but we suffer together as one body, Lord, like we're called to do. And when we rejoice together, like we do this morning, praising your name, God, that you would be glorified here. I pray, God, that you would be with Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word, and that we would open up our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, last week I challenged everyone that was here. So if you weren't here last week, sorry for that. I'll explain what happened so you can kind of catch you up what happened. So last week we were reading through a verse in the Bible. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, be thankful always. And I made a kind of a construction that it's very possible that if we start out being thankful, that'll lead to some other things. And so the challenge was is to start to try over the next 2 weeks to be thankful. And what I asked people to do was to come up with a list of 100 things that they're thankful for. So I said, you know, write those things down. And it was kind of goofing around, but it ended up being a lot more serious than I thought. I just said, if you show me the list next Sunday or the Sunday after, I'll give you a hug. And in the first service when I said it, everyone was like, woo, they got all excited. And I'm like, oh, I'm onto something here. So then I just kept going with it. So that's the deal. So if you show me your list of 100, I would give them a hug. And the idea behind the hug was really just ancillary to the whole thing. It was just for us to start thinking through the things that we're thankful for. And as we start accumulating that, it opens up, it kind of naturally makes us think more about God. That was kind of the point of it. And so what was unintended was how much of a phenomenon it happened here. Like, when I just said it, I was just like, okay, this would be a great idea. This is something we should do. But over this past week, I've had several conversations with people, and people have talked to me in person, and I even got a couple of texts from people, and they said, man, I'm looking forward to getting my hug. And it was like, wow, this is amazing because it's really working. I mean, this is a really cool thing. So it's kind of become a phenomenon now. And so y'all are not out. You can still do it. Next, we got another week to do it. You can do the list over this next week. Thanksgiving's coming up. It'll be an easy time to remember. So anyway, so the list was really turned into this phenomenon. It was kind of neat. It's kind of fun. It was encouraging for me, and I thought that was kind of a fun thing. But one of the things I thought about as I was thinking through the whole process, for those of you who aren't familiar, every week I give a challenge. Like at the end, I give you something to take what we've talked about from the Bible and put it towards your life some way, some tangible way. So I always have a challenge, and that's always a constant. And then there's always people. There's people out here that I'm talking to. That's always here. And this past week, I remembered and I realized there's another element. Not that I didn't know it, but it became very fresh to me, it became very real to me, that there's another element in play. It's not just me with the challenge, and it's not just the people that heard it, but there's a third person in the situation. And that third person is the Holy Spirit. Now, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's really difficult for us because people have just a real uncomfortability with the concept of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, modern humanity in particular, doesn't understand what is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? we understand as we study what the Bible has to say that the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three different persons, but they work together in such unity that they're considered one essence. And that's kind of the idea of it. So the Holy Spirit is God. It's like a God figure. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't know who he is, but they didn't understand that he's God. And so people don't really know, okay, if he's God, then what do we do with that? And a lot of people don't understand what the Holy Spirit does. Now, for people who are in an intimate relationship with God because of their faith, the Holy Spirit lives in them. Where is he living? He's not in your pocket. We can talk about that later. But he actually lives in them. And he helps them throughout the day, motivates them to do right, tries to help them avoid wrong. A lot of things that the Holy Spirit does. But even people who don't have a relationship with God are affected by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does influence their lives. The Holy Spirit is around them and trying to, more times than not, trying to help people see that the Lord truly loves them. And is trying to, working through circumstances, working through conversations, working through thoughts that pop in their head or whatever, is trying to help people who don't have a relationship with the Lord to say, I need Jesus. I need God. And to get into that relationship. So the Holy Spirit is working. But it's a very weird concept. We don't understand, even if you do know those things, which a lot of people don't, but even if you do know those things, you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to relate to the Holy Spirit in my life? What am I supposed to do with it? And so this morning what I want to do is I want to pose that question to us. And I want to ask, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, not a problem. There's a Bible in the pew in front of you. And we are finishing up our series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to ask this question, what are we supposed to do with the Holy Spirit? What are we supposed to do with it? And my hope is here this morning, as we talk about what the Bible has to say about how we react, how we interact with the Holy Spirit, it will demysticize a bit some of the anxiety we often feel when we think about and talk about the Holy Spirit. So I'm hoping to kind of demystify things a little bit for you here. But we're going to be in chapter 5, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And chapter 5 is kind of wrapping up what's going on in 1 Thessalonians. It's a section towards the end of this letter with a bunch of commands or things to do all in a row. And these three that we're going to look at today are related. They go together. And we're going to see that as we put them together, it teaches us a concept. It gives us an overall understanding of how we should relate to. What are we supposed to do with the Holy Spirit? And the first thing that we're going to see, it's going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 22. And the first thing that we're going to see in this section is we need to understand that we need the Holy Spirit. We need him. The second thing we're going to see is that we need to read the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you where we can read what he has to say. And the last thing we're going to see is to heed the Holy Spirit or obey what the Holy Spirit is telling us or showing us we need to do. So we're going to look through that, and it's going to help us kind of paint a picture of how we're supposed to interact with and what we're supposed to do with the Holy Spirit. The first thing is this, is to understand that we need the Holy Spirit. Look with me at verse 19, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. It says this, do not quench the Spirit. So the do not at the beginning indicates to us that this is going to be a negative command. And so when I say a negative command, what I'm doing is I'm telling you that this command is something that tells you what you're not supposed to do. And you see these often in the Bible. But what the corollary to the negative is the unsaid suggestion that you do the positive. So you're supposed to not do this, but what's implied is to do the opposite. And that's kind of where we get here. So it says, do not, this is a negative command, this is what you shouldn't do, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench there means to extinguish. If you think of like a fire extinguisher puts out a fire, or you throw some water, on a fire or a pit. If you've got a fire pit and you throw water on it, it puts out the fire. It's the same word here. It says, do not put out, don't extinguish the Spirit. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, not in this spot specifically, but in many places in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described using the metaphor of a fire. And so what this is doing is it's taking that metaphor, the next step, and saying, do not use a fire extinguisher on the Holy Spirit. Don't throw water on the Holy Spirit. And the idea is as the Holy Spirit is working in your life, he's working, he's trying to help motivate you, he's trying to help influence you. Don't be someone who looks and says, okay, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing, I'm going to throw water on that because I'm not going to do it. That's the negative. The positive side is what I'm suggesting here, is to recognize that you need the Holy Spirit. Instead of saying, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing, I'm not gonna listen to it, I'm not gonna be affected by it, don't do that. Instead, recognize that you need him, that you need to interact with him, and you need to be able to allow him to affect you and what you're doing. If you think about the challenge that we had last week, the list of 100, the idea behind why that was so successful was because the Holy Spirit was working in the situation. You and I are very much this way. When someone tells us something to do, even if they do it nicely, our first reaction is no way. It's human. That's what we do. That's what people normally do. If someone say, hey, don't go in the right lane, we're just like, you go in the left lane, what do? We go in the right lane. Because we don't like other people telling us what to do. And the same thing is true here. Last week, when I said, hey, make a list of 100 things, natural inclination is to not do it. Say, no, I don't want to do it. I'm busy. I don't have paper at home. I don't like making lists. Whatever it is, I'm too busy. Whatever it is, a natural inclination is that. But for some people, they were able to overcome that and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. Why? And the reality is that is an expression of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, taking something that was good for them, something that they were told that they should do, and overcoming their natural tendency to not want to do it and doing it. And so the challenge at that point became something that people wanted to do. And why? Because the Holy Spirit was working in their lives. And although the Holy Spirit is not obvious, we can't see him, touch him, grab his arm, thing. He's working in people's lives. And this may be the same for you, and this may be true for you. You may know wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, you know in the back of your head there is this sense, there is this thought, there is this draw. It's like a tractor beam that's trying to pull you towards a relationship with the Lord. And for whatever reason you're fighting it, or whatever reason you're pursuing it, or you're jumping around, or whatever it is, there is this something working in your life. And many people, if they're honest, will tell you, yeah, that's there. I don't want to be in a relationship with God. Maybe. But there are people who understand that there's something in and around them who is drawing them to the Lord. And that's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is something that we really need. We need the Holy Spirit. One of the difficulties with teaching in a big setting like this, one of the things that's difficult is teaching the deep theology and the deep concepts of something like the Holy Spirit is very difficult to do. And so we don't cover those deep things like, where is the Holy Spirit? You know, is he in the heart, or is he in your liver? Where is he? All those kind of questions, we don't deal with them here because it'd be too hard to do. But we do have something. We have a foundations class that meets right before the service. And the idea behind that class is to really talk about some of the things that are talked about in the Bible and integrating and saying, okay, how does that relate to my life? And if you're not already a part of that class, I encourage you to go. I don't think there's any homework. It's not a thing, but people are coming in with their Bibles, with their pens and their notebooks, and they're talking and they're looking and say, what does the Bible say and what does that mean? And not just what does it mean, but what does it mean in my life? And it's a forum when we can do that a little bit easier. So if you're not involved with that class, I really challenge you. Next week at 9:30, go in there, jump in, listen. It's some good stuff that we're talking about. You can go in deeper, which we can't do here. But the primary thing I do want you to see this morning is for each of us to realize we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him. Even if you're not a believer, you need the Holy Spirit working in your life, bringing you to a place that you may not want to go in and of yourself, but you know you probably need to go. So what are we supposed to do with the Holy Spirit? First thing, realize you need Him. Second of all, realize you need to read Him. The vast majority of communication that the Holy Spirit gives to people is in this book. And if you want, sometime we'll sit down at coffee and I'll tell you how this book came to be and all that. I could tell you the whole story and I'm not going to go into it now. But I want you to understand that the vast majority of the messages that the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to me and to you are found right here. And that's why it's so important that we read what it says. Look with me at verse 20. It says, "Do not utterly reject prophecies." Do not. This is, again, a negative command, saying don't do something. We're going to talk about the positive in a second, but it says do not. Don't do this. Don't reject. The idea here is to despise, to look at something, to evaluate its value or worth, and come away with the understanding that it's worthless. And it's saying don't look at prophecies and look at them and say, this is worthless. It's invaluable. It has no value for my life. Don't do that. Don't do that about prophecy. Now, prophecy is a word that means many different things. But in general, a prophecy is a message or an utterance from God to a human or to humans. It's prophecy. And so when I tell you that the vast majority of the prophecies that the Holy Spirit or that God wants to communicate to you are found in here, that's what I'm saying. The messages that the Lord wants you to hear are in here. They are in here and they're for you. And the negative command is do not reject, do not disdain, do not say, oh, that's worthless. Don't do that about prophecy. And in this case, I'm going to say, The biggest compilation of prophecy that we have is this book. Do not reject, do not say that the Bible is not valuable, that it's worthless for your life. And instead, the positive side of that command is instead, read it. Read what the Bible says. Listen to it. Understand what's going on, and then we'll talk about it later. Put it to use. But the overall. What are we supposed to do with the Holy Spirit? Read what He's got to say for your life. Don't reject Him. Instead, read what He has to say. My challenge for you this week is over the next week, every morning when you get up, read a paragraph out of your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, come see me after the service, and I'll get you a Bible. We'll find you a Bible. It's not a problem. I'll get you one. If you don't know where to start reading, come see me after the service, and I'll give you a couple of places where you can start based upon your lifestyle or based upon what's going on with you. But here's the challenge. Every day this week, read a paragraph out of your Bible. Read the message that the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to you. So what are we supposed to do with the Holy Spirit? First of all, we're supposed to understand that we need Him. The second thing that we need to do, that we are supposed to do with the Holy Spirit, is we're supposed to read what He has to say. And the last thing that we need to do is we need to heed what He has to say. Look with me at verse 21. It says this, "But examine everything, hold firmly to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil." Verse 21 says, "But examine everything." The word actually means to test, to evaluate, to kind of check it out. And the idea here is that as you're reading this revelation from God, to test it out, to look and say, is this something? What is it saying? What is really being communicated here? Test it, evaluate it, work with it. Examine everything, all of the different prophecies that you're hearing in the Bible and the things that the Holy Spirit is doing around. Examine everything. And the two things to do, one, hold firmly to that which is good. Hold on tight to the things that are good. As you're reading along, there will be some commands that will tell you what you should do. And it's saying, hold on to those. Do them. There are some commands that you'll run into that will say what not to do. It says, abstain from every form of evil. Don't do them. And although it's very easy, it's very elementary, it's very pedantic, the concept is this, is that as you're reading, as you're understanding, as you're listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, do it. He's interacting with you for a reason. Heed what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. This past week has been a bit of an encouragement for me. It's been kind of fun for me because as I'm talking with people about their list of 100, it's kind of neat to see. It's kind of fun to talk about and to experience. I've enjoyed it. And part of the reason why that's been so helpful for me and why that's been so much fun to hear and to interact with people about is because I know that the primary reason that people are doing this list of 100 is not because of me. It's not me. I'm an agent. I'm part of the process, but I'm not the only piece. I'm one person. The other person that's involved is the person who's hearing, and I love those people, and I'm excited about them. I know that the reason that this has become such a phenomenon is not because of them. The reason that this has become such a phenomenon is because of the third person. It's the third person who's involved, and that third person who's involved is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is interacting between me and between the people who heard them, and he's motivating them to want to do what he's calling them to do. So my challenge for you this week is this. My challenge for you this week is this, is to some point this week make a list, if you haven't done it already, make a list of 100 things that you are thankful for. 100 things. Now, if you haven't done it already, or if you weren't here last week, I want to let you know it's a little bit of work. This is not something you're going to do in 5 minutes. It takes some time to put this together. Sit down, get a couple of coffees, get a couple of hot cocos if you need to. Sit down with a paper and a pen and list out 100 things that you are thankful for. And the idea as you go through this process, you think about your life, as you think about your work, as you think about all the different areas of your life, as you make this list, you're going to become thankful for all of the things that the Lord is doing in your life. And that's what it is. And if you need this motivation, then next week, if you show me your list and you show it to me, I'll give you a hug. I'll be happy to do it. So that's the challenge for you this week. Just want to give you a chance to do that. Hope you would take up that challenge over the next week, 100 things that you're thankful for. What we're going to do now is we're going to move into a neat, really exciting time in our service. Alex is going to come up and is going to lead us in another song. And then I'm going to do a really quick change. And we're going to jump in the baptismal. And we have two baptisms for you. So I think you're going to enjoy it. So
we're going to throw it back a little bit with this one. Should have lyrics on the screen for you as well. Y'all don't have to stand or anything, but if you feel compelled, go ahead and sing along. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I approve him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I have proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, 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 how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Well, hello. It's wonderful to see you. This is Andrea, and Andrea is here this morning to be baptized. Yeah, everybody, that's good. It's a wave. Did you see everyone wave?
Yes.
That's pretty good. Okay. There are two questions that I need to ask Andrea, and the first one is, Andrea, do you have a personal relationship? Hold on. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because of your faith in what he did on the cross for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And would you tell the group why you want to be baptized?
Because I am so grateful for the mercy and the grace that God has shown me and led me here to this place, to Redeemer, to my family. You have shown me how to walk the life with Christ. And I passed this building 100 times looking at those stained glass windows, and finally I made it inside the doors. And I'm so glad I'm here and I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Good?
That was good. Can I high-five you? All right, sweet. Okay. By the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in death.
Ready?
Go. Raised to new life.
Praise the Lord.
So the second person who's coming down is Melody Curtis, and these steps can be kind of slippery back here, so we're taking our time so no one falls. That would be kind of weird, right? Somebody slipped and fell. That'd be no fun. So we're not going to do that. Ready? Come on. Okay, Melody, I have two questions to ask you. Okay? Have you placed your faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and now entered into an intimate relationship with the Lord?
Yes.
Okay.
why do you want to be baptized? And if you don't want to answer that, okay, I was on cue for this. So she doesn't want to answer this. She's extremely nervous. She doesn't look nervous, does she? She is. Okay, so the reason that she wants to be baptized is because she loves the Lord, and she wants to have a public display of her love and commitment for the Lord. And so she wanted to be baptized in front of all of you folks because she wanted to demonstrate that she wants to commit her life to the Lord. Is that okay? Okay, good. Okay. Now, profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm buried with him in death, and raised to new life. Thank you all for watching that, and I think Gail's going to come up and give us a final OCC, not a final, a wrap-up OCC announcement.
Okay, as you know, we've all been participating in Operation Christmas Child for the past month. Many of you have picked up boxes and return boxes, and so I just thank you so much. I want to thank all the volunteers for this past week that we had. We had volunteers volunteering in the office so that I could be out in the foyer working with the public and the other volunteers for accepting the shoeboxes. It's been an interesting week, and so there's some slides behind me that I'd love to share with you. Of some of the people this past week. So this slide here was from Highlands Christian School. They came in and gave their boxes, and I think there's another picture of them where they're in line. Here they are coming in line through the hall, dropping off their boxes. And then we had an opportunity to pray, and it was a real blessing how the Lord just works amazingly, bringing people in, praying with them, trusting the Lord for the salvation of these children around the world, and how he's using Operation Christmas Child to do that. And then the picture, the girl on the left, is her name is Shanine. She is Georgina Kern's daughter, and she helped us last year, actually, and she's been a real blessing to us. And then there's Jay and Hannah in the center. And the two girls on the right were from Lash Lounge in Lakewood. They were real sweet girls. They said they kind of did a promotion in their business where if their clients dropped off or picked up a box and brought it back filled with things for the kids, that they would get a discount on their next service. So I think they brought us like 30 boxes. We had some days where we had good group of volunteers, and I think we got 10 boxes in that day. And then we had a day where we didn't have as many volunteers, and I think we did 171 boxes. We were very, very busy. I think our biggest day was 202 boxes on Friday, and yesterday we got two boxes in 4 hours. But we met a wonderful girl, and she, a young girl, and been considering Redeemer Bible Church, so we're hoping that maybe she'll come and visit. Again, I just thank you. We're still open this afternoon from 12 to 2, and then tomorrow, if you have not yet picked up a box and would still like to fill it, it is not too late. You have until 3 o'clock tomorrow to fill a box and return it back to church. And we just want to give God praise for all that he's doing and how he's giving the gospel to children around the world through these boxes.
Sorry, everyone. I was backstage helping with the baptisms. Pretty cool, seen from that view as well. To conclude our service, we have a few short announcements. If you don't already have a bulletin, I encourage you to go and grab one. Tracy Preston, if you didn't see at the welcome desk, she had some really cool bookmarks, and she really made sure to impress on me the importance of these aren't just bookmarks for looking nice, they look nice, but for reading your Bible. So if that can be a good encouragement for you to be in the Word, I strongly encourage you to go and do that. In addition, poinsettias will be available for order for the Christmas season today. It would be $20. For more information, again, please see the bulletin. Also, we will be doing, from now until December 8th, missionary Christmas love gifts. For a little bit more information on that, again, please see the bulletin. Also, on December 7th, we'll be having a men's breakfast here at the church. It'll be from 8 to 9:30 a.m. That's not this next Saturday, but the one after that. Please be sure to come if you are planning on coming. Hey, if you have a young neighbor, maybe a nephew, a son, please be sure to bring them as well. We'd love to have them. And finally, as Pastor Forrest mentioned in his sermon, each week we have a foundations class. They meet at 9:30 a.m. in room 202. It's a great way for you to learn a little bit more deep theology about what does the Spirit do? How do we relate to him in a personal way? And finally, as you just saw, we had a few baptisms. If you've never been baptized, I would strongly encourage you to talk to Pastor Forrest. Maybe explore, hey, maybe you'd like to be baptized as well. In addition, Melody and Andrea will be out there in the foyer after the service. Please be sure to greet them, give them a hug, give them a handshake, tell them that you're really happy for them. And would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service. We thank you for the freedom for us to gather together in worship of you. Lord, please sanctify us by your word and by your Spirit. Please change us. Please change our hearts, our affections, to be more like you. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for Melody and Andrea, Lord, for the work you've done in their lives and how you've brought them to this place of being baptized, Lord, and that would just be the start of a beautiful change in their lives, that you would work greatly through them. Lord, we thank you and we pray this all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you, church. Have a good week.